I'm Paul Oshesky, the youth pastor here at Celtis, and I want to thank you for joining us for worship today. If you're a member, please know that we miss seeing you week after week, but we are thankful that you've joined us for worship in this format. If you're a guest, welcome. We're also glad that you've joined us for worship today. A few things that we'd like you to know about our service. After this welcome, Pastor Danny is going to read scripture and pray for our services. Then Pastor Dave is going to lead us in worship through a couple of songs. After that, Pastor Mark is going to preach a sermon. And lastly, Pastor Aaron is going to share some announcements with us. All in all, this will be about a 30-minute service. Take a moment and remove all distractions, gather your family, and worship together. If now is not a good time for you to do that, then set aside time later in the day when you are able to remove all distractions and take this time seriously. We want you to participate in our service. And so in a moment, as Pastor Danny reads scripture and prays, open up your Bibles, read along, and pray as he prays. As Pastor Dave leads us in worship through song, sing along. The words will be right there on your screen, so you don't have to worry about not knowing the songs. As Pastor Mark preaches, open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, follow along. Open up a notebook and take notes so that you can reflect back upon the sermon throughout the week. And lastly, as Pastor Aaron shares some announcements, stay tuned and pay attention to those. Those are important to what's going on in the life of our church, and he's also going to share ways that you can pray for one of our mission partners. Open up your Bibles with us now as Pastor Danny is going to read some scripture and pray for our services. We love you guys, we miss you, and we're praying for all of you.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And while you're turning there, let me just say that this passage of Scripture really builds upon the prevalent theme that we've seen in Genesis chapter 5 and 6 that Pastor Mark has been leading us through. So if you're there, we're going to read through verse 12, from 12 through verse 15. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only is in my presence, but much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in our dispersed and scattered context, seeking to honor and glorify you in unity and in spirit and in truth. Father, by your sovereign decree of will, you have given us life, and by your sovereign grace, you have given us new life. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ, for it's in his name that we pray today, that you give us strength and that you equip us, that through the power of your word and the Holy Spirit, you help us to walk in the righteousness that you have extended to us through your grace, so that the world will see that we are truly different, that we are living differently. May the world see the hope and the truth of the gospel in our lives, in our response to any external forces that we may face. Our hope is truly in you. We give you honor, praise, and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now sing with us together as Pastor Dave leads us in worship.
Became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Blessed Redeemer,
Thou hast been, thou for Well, hello, it is good to be with you. Whether you're church family or whether you're a guest, we're glad you're joining us live as we go through Scripture together and try to encourage one another through this pandemic. Today, we're in Genesis chapter 6, and we're continuing our series, How to Live in Difficult Times. And what we've been doing over these last 3 weeks is we've been looking at a man called Noah who lived in difficult times. His days were evil continually, and a worldwide disaster had been predicted by God and came to pass. And Noah lived through all that. He lived in difficult days. And yet, watching Noah and learning from him, we see the grace of God all over his life. So today, I want to talk to you about letting God's truth shine through you. Letting God's truth shine through you. How to live in difficult times. You have to let God's truth shine to other people around you. Now, this pandemic that's going on, we've been distanced. We don't see a lot of people, but there's still social media. There's still outlets where we can let our voice be known. We're still with our family, and wherever we are, we have got to let the grace of God shine through us to other people. What we learn in the text today, particularly Genesis 6, verse 9, I want us to look at one word in particular about Noah. He was blameless in his generation. Blameless. In other words, the way his generation saw him was he was a preacher of righteousness. The light of Christ, so to speak, the love of God shone through Noah. We're going to explore that in detail in just a moment. But let's get into the text together and let's look at how Noah was blameless in his generation, how he walked with God. First of all, the way Noah let the light of God shine through him is he proclaimed the truth. He proclaimed the truth. Now, before we get into Noah proclaiming the truth, I just want to make this point, because you may be picking up with us today. You may not have followed the last 2 weeks through this series. And when you look at verses 8 and 9, you have to take those in order. You have to go in the proper order. Notice it says in verse 8, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That's the starting place. Noah found favor, grace, in the eyes of God. There was nothing inherent in Noah. There was no goodness inherently in Noah. Noah wasn't some man better than us. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's where every person who is in Christ begins. We find grace through the eyes of the Lord. We are saved by grace, not by what we do, not by our works of righteousness. We find favor. And that's what Noah did. He found favor. Now, if you don't read verse 8 and you only read verse 9 of chapter 6, you can mess up the life of Noah. For example, in verse 9, it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Now, it's really tempting for us to see the word righteous man, blameless, walked with God, and think Noah was some superhuman being. Noah was somebody that was way above me, far beyond my ability. That is not what the text says. You've got to read this in order. What the text says is Noah was saved by grace, verse 8. And then the text says, because Noah was justified, because Noah was given grace by God, these things became true of Noah's life. In other words, because he was justified, he began to live justly. He was a righteous man. He sought God because God had sought him. He sought to live according to God's truth because God had sought him. He was blameless in his generation. Now, notice it doesn't say he was blameless before God. It says he was blameless in his generation. And that is key. Noah was not blameless in God's sight. Noah was a sinner just like you and I. And we know that from the life of Noah, because when the flood is over, Noah is going to commit a sin. Noah needs grace just like you and I need grace. You know, the Bible is always so clear that there is really no one righteous. The Scripture tells us over and over again, but particularly in a very famous passage in Romans chapter 3, it says there's none righteous. None means none. No one. Noah would be a part of that. There is none righteous. You know, Abraham lied twice and was a sinner saved by grace. The scripture says he was called out of Ur of the idol-worshipping Chaldeans. Lot was a man who tried to give his daughters away to a mob that wanted to have their way with his daughters. And yet the scripture tells us in the New Testament that Lot was a righteous man. Peter tells us that. That's baffling. Jacob lied to his brother and his father. He was a deceiver, but he was also Israel. He was the father of 12 tribes. David had an affair, had many wives, yet the grace of God called him a man after God's own heart. Solomon gave himself to wicked wives who led him away from God, yet he built the temple of God and was God's king for God's moment. And I haven't even gotten to the New Testament, where we meet people who are saved by grace, who were never worthy of that grace, but God's goodness was all over them. Friends, the scripture is replete with these truths. No one is righteous in and of themselves. The Bible never presents any of these people as righteous people, superhuman beings, who had a deeper walk with God than you do or I do. They were sinners saved by grace. Now, once they were saved, they lived righteously. Once they were saved, they may have appeared blameless to their generation, but they were still in need of grace. But it's interesting, once you are given the grace of God, and once you begin to pursue righteousness, and you begin to walk in God's word, the generation around you will call you blameless. And that's what they called Noah. Again, he wasn't blameless, but they saw him that way. And so he was proclaiming the truth. You know, it's interesting because the scripture tells us in the New Testament that Noah, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah was someone who was a preacher of righteousness. He preached to the generations around him. And as he preached to those generations around him, they thought that he was blameless. Now, you and I, if we pursue the Lord and if we seek his word, people should be able to see kind of that same attitude in us. Now, again, we're not blameless either. But they're going to accuse us of being blameless, and that's not a bad thing. They might accuse you of being good or a goody-two-shoes or somebody who's always righteous. And you don't want to come off as better than anybody else, but you know what? Sometimes you can't avoid that. When you walk rightly with God, it's just inevitable. That's the way they see you. Well, when they see us, what do they see? What would people say about you right now during this pandemic? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? I mean, let's just start with the people that are in your house that maybe you've been cooped up with. What would they say about your attitude? Would they say, you know what, I see you walking with God, I see you blameless? Or would they say, maybe you're argumentative, maybe you're not on your best behavior? Oh, that's getting convicting, isn't it? Because if we're still in our homes, it's getting really, really difficult and really tough right now. We're really having to lean on the grace of God. But let me tell you that Noah had difficult days, and yet he still preached truth. Building the ark was difficult. The mocking he received, the pain he probably felt when people socially distanced from him. But in the same way, even when the flood came, I'm sure it was a discouraging time to see the waters cover the entire earth, to be trapped on a boat with just your family for more than weeks, hundreds of days. And yet here he is in this crisis, and even before it, he's called blameless by his generation. Well, you know, how do the people closest to us see us? Do they see us pursuing God? Do they see us walking with God? Would they say we're blameless? How do people see us in the community right now? When we go to the store, do they see us trusting God? would they say, even in the way we respond to this panic, that we are carrying the name of Jesus with us? Would they say that about us? Would they say, you know, your kindness and your grace through this trial is encouraging? What about the things that we post on social media? If we can't get out and talk to each other, we're probably posting things on social media. Are those things encouraging? Are those things encouraging other people? Are they pointing them to our Lord and Savior? Or are they creating fear? Are they making people praise us? Are they making people move away from God? People ought to say about us, you know what? I can see this righteousness, this walking with God, this blamelessness that's in us who claim Christ. I hope people see that in us. I hope that they see us worshiping God in everything that we say and that we do during this time. You know, people say, my kids look like me. And I'll always say, I'm so sorry about that. But the truth is, they have my name. They have my mark, no pun intended. They have my identity all over them, and they can't hide it. Well, friend, if you are in Christ, then you have His identity. You have His mark. You have His name all over you, and you cannot hide it. That's the way Noah was. He was blameless in his generation. Now notice what else. Not only did people see Noah this way, the light of Christ shined through Noah because he was blameless in his generation, but his generation also saw him, look at verse 9, walking with God. They saw Noah walking with God. What did it mean to walk with God? Well, he was obedient. He worshiped. Through the whole time of knowing the end of the world is coming, and you have to construct an ark, and you have to gather your family, and you have to eventually gather these animals and creatures, and soon this flood water is going to open up over all the earth. What did he do? He walked with God. Walked with God. Now, it's very tempting for us to give up walking with God, perhaps, right now. We're not having to go into the world. We're not having to go to work, perhaps. We're not going to church. We're not seeing people. Maybe we're getting on each other's nerves, but now should be the time most of all that we walk with God, that we say, Lord, help me to take this time that you've given me to walk steadfastly with you. So, you've been given some time with your family, extra time. Are you having family worship together? Are you gathering around the table each night and opening God's word? Are you memorizing scripture? Are you seeking God in prayer? And so many times we have weak prayers. The reason maybe God doesn't answer is we have these weak prayer moments. Spend some time in prayer. If you really are bored and you think, I've got to get outside, I've got to tend the garden, I've got to take a walk, I've got to do this, that, fine. But also say, you know what? I could give an hour to prayer. God has given me time to walk with Him during these difficult days. So friends, learn from our brother Noah. Walk with God through these days. When we do this, when we're obedient to God and we're seen as blameless, and then we walk with God through whatever we're going through, we let the truth of God shine through us. And we need to shine that truth of God outward to people all around us. They need hope. If this is still going on, and we are pre-recording this, so if this is still going on and we're weeks into this, friends, let me just tell you, we all need some encouragement. So reach out. Reach out in any way that you can and encourage other people, and let the light of Christ shine through you. Well, we always want to say this as well. You know, we've talked about Noah not really being righteous in and of himself. He was only righteous because of God's grace on him. Friends, that's the only way for you to be righteous as well. It's the only way for you to be seen as ever being blameless or walking with God. That's to know Christ as Lord and Savior. If you don't know Him, we pray and we hope that you repent of your sins, that you repent of your works, that you trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that you would be saved today. The Bible makes it really clear. It says in Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So just confess in prayer. Say, Lord, I believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. He's deity, he's God, he's the only one who can conquer sin and death. Confess that and believe that, and God says it's that simple, you will be saved. I hope that you all listening to this podcast, that you have done that. If not, that you'll do that today. It's been good coming into your home. We're praying for you. We miss you. We pray God's best for you. God bless you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Pastor Aaron, and I want to thank you for tuning in this morning to watch our online service. We hope that you're getting used to this new format. Of course, it's not ideal, but it's how we want to serve you and your family during this time of the coronavirus and all of us needing to stay home and stay safe. If you have any questions about Pastor Mark's sermon, spiritual questions, if you have questions about wanting a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we encourage you to contact us. You can email us at info@keltis.org or just go to our website, keltis.org, and you'll find a way to contact any of our pastors, and we'd love to give you a call and talk to you more about a relationship with the Lord Jesus and just how to function as a believer in this current situation that we're in. Well, we keep mentioning our website, and if you have any questions about how we are dealing with the coronavirus, what kind of restrictions and limitations that we're doing for our church family, again, go to our website, keltis.org/coronavirus. keltis.org/coronavirus. That'll give you all the up-to-date information. Of course, we're going to post stuff on Facebook. We're going to text and email when we need to, but everything will be accumulated on our website, keltis.org/coronavirus. Also, I want to remind you that our women's conference that was originally scheduled for this month has been postponed until October. Again, you can go to our website to keep up with any updates on the Women's Conference. That address is keltis.org/womensconference. keltis.org/womensconference. Several of you have asked the pastors, how can we continue giving during this quarantine time? We're so grateful that you're willing to give and honor the Lord with your tithes and offerings during this time. We're still doing ministry. We're still trying to serve you. And so we appreciate your giving. There are two ways that you can do that. The easiest way is through our online giving app. You can go to our website, keltis.org/online-giving. keltis.org/online-giving. And you'll find instructions on how you can give right there from your home. You can also mail your check in. You can mail your check to Keltis First Baptist Church. The address you need to use is P.O. Box 3043, Lufkin, Texas, 75903. That's P.O. Box 3043, Lufkin, Texas, 75903. Because of the recent county restrictions, our church office will be closed, so you won't be able to drop off your check anymore. So just mail it or give online. Another reason it's so important to continue giving to your local church is so that we can continue giving to our mission partners represented on this map behind me. And I want to introduce you to our mission partners for this week. As you know, every week we highlight one of our mission partners to get specific prayer requests and updates and to let you know how you can pray for them. This week, we will be focusing on Joe and Jesse Yabyun, who are serving the Lord in Bangkok, Thailand. Now, Monday night, Lord willing, Joe Yabyun, the pastor of North Bangkok Church, will be doing a live video on our private Facebook page. So this will be for our church family. And he'll be giving you an update on how we can pray for he and his family and their ministry. And I'll also give you a time to interact with him, ask any questions that you may have as well. The virus is a real thing in Bangkok, Thailand, just as it is here. And so we'll get to see how we can best pray for our brother and sister. So tune in Monday night on our private Facebook page to hear from Joe Yabeyoung, our mission partner of the week. Well, church family, if there is any way your pastors can serve you during this time, we are here and want you to reach out to us. Once again, the best way to reach us is the email address info@keltis.org, and we'll be glad to get in touch with you. We miss you guys so much. We love you, and we encourage you to be salt and light in your online virtual world right now. Love your neighbor, love one another, and we hope to see you soon. God bless.